Remain standing, if you will, turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4. Praise God, I've enjoyed the service thus far, and I could leave now and say it has been good, amen, to have been here. I appreciate the Word of God and the opportunity to be able to read it, the opportunity to be able to preach it, and the opportunity to be able to hear it as it is read and preached from. And I appreciate the songs and the testimonies, a great blessing of the Lord. Amen. Genesis chapter number 4, probably very familiar text to you. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. Genesis chapter 4, thank you, brother, verse number 1. The Bible says, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Isn't it amazing that God will bless one man's service and not another man's service? And it's not a respecter of persons. It's a respecter of the offering and the heart. Abel's offering by faith. Cain's offering by rebellion. I want to do it my way. I don't care what God wants. I know what I want. This is my kind of service. Amen. And that God wouldn't have respect to that. Amen. And Cain, verse number 5 in the middle of it, and Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Again, showing that God didn't have respect to persons. He would have accepted Cain if he'd only come the right way. And if thou doest well, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my father's keeper? Cain did know where Abel was. He lied to God. He said, I don't know. He lied to God. And then Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? As if he's saying to God, is it any of your business? Why are you butting in on this? All right, verse number 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. I'm going to stop there. I realize that's in the middle of a sentence. I want to focus on verse number 10 and verse number 11. He said, thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Verse number 11, he says that the earth hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood. I want to try to preach this morning on this thought, the cry of the blood. Amen. The cry of the blood. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, Lord. Yes. Help us, Lord. Please, Lord, help. Yes. Help us, Lord, I pray. Amen, amen. Thank you for that prayer. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Amen. And by the way, I didn't mention it. Do be in prayer for Brother Hall and Mrs. Hall. Their health issues, but Brother Hall, this week, just finding out some more things, and keep them in your prayers that God would work and help in that. It's a blessing to see them in the house of God. Amen. And I see them doing well. This text that I read and this story or account is very familiar to you. We've all heard it from our earliest days in Sunday school. We've heard about Cain and Abel. And we've heard about the fact that Cain brought the wrong offering. Cain brought an offering, as I said, of rebellion, of what he wanted. And Abel brought the offering that God had required. That was the blood of a lamb. Amen. And then we know about how that Cain senselessly murdered his brother. I mean, without any feeling whatsoever. I mean, here's a very religious man now. Cain just brought an offering to God and turns around and kills his brother. You can tell he's got bad religion. Amen. Who was it preached that message? Was it Brother Herbert Williamson? Somebody preached a message on rotten tree religion. Y'all remember that? It's pretty well known for a while there. Somebody did. It's either Brother Herbert or it might have been Don Green. But somebody preached a message on rotten tree religion. I don't remember where they got the rotten tree from, but that rotten religion. And that's what Cain had. But I'm interested in the statement that God made there when he talks about the blood. And he says that it cried from the ground. Now, if you've got a strong concordance, you look up the word blood, you'll find that this is the first mention of blood. This is the first time blood's been shed. It's the first time blood's been mentioned in your King James Bible. And it says that this blood is crying. This blood is announcing something. This blood has something to say. Now, I preached a message here a few years ago. I think on Sunday morning, I preached one on the blood of Abel has something to say. And talked about in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, Abel, or he, being dead, yet speaketh. And so his blood cried from the ground is the idea that's given there. And then I came back on that Sunday night, I think, and preached on the blood of Jesus has something better to say. Amen. And it's greater blood than that of Abel, and it has something much better to say. Amen. I'm not going to deal with that message this morning, but I'm thinking about the blood speaking. Now, can I say to you that God, by the way, this is God's word. God's the one said Abel's blood cried from the ground. It's not, Cain didn't say that. If Cain had said it, we'd say he's lying. Blood don't cry. Blood don't speak. But God said it did. God said the blood of Abel cried from the ground. Now, he's speaking symbolically, of course. He's saying that the blood of Abel on the ground speaks to me. The blood of Abel on the ground tells me that something has happened. By the way, if there, a police officer or a detective comes in and they track the, maybe they see it's a bloody mess and there's bloody footprints, that blood speaks to them. That blood says something to them. That somebody walked through that blood. Amen. And so God said to Abel in a symbolic fashion, that blood, or to Cain, he said, that blood speaks to me. Just like its symbolism when he says the earth opened her mouth to receive the blood of Abel. He's saying that symbolically. He's given us the idea and the picturesque thing that we can see really what's being said. Now I want to think about that today and look at what the Bible says about some instances where blood has been shed, and I believe that it speaks to us. I want to see what it has to say today. First of all, and I've got 3 points and I'll be pretty quick. I've got a lot of verses and scriptures. We'll turn to some and many that we won't, all right? But in Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 1, or verse number 10, we have the first time that the blood speaks to us. And I call this the blood of a victim. The blood of a victim. He said in Genesis chapter number 4 and verse number 10, and he said, what hast thou done? The blood says something has happened. What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Amen. Cain had killed his brother in a fit of rage. Cain had grown angry, and in a spat of anger and jealousy, he worked out his wrath, and in his anger, he killed his brother. I don't know how he did it, with a club or with a rock or whatever. I believe it was Joshua that said that somebody said if they start confiscating guns, the first murder didn't happen with a gun. NRA wasn't around when Cain killed Abel. Amen. It's a rock, and they're going to have to start confiscating their rocks one of these days. Amen. But the truth is, it was anger that killed Abel. It was jealousy that killed him. It was envy that killed him. And it was the wrath of a sinful man. And then I believe Cain probably, more than likely, covered up the body. Probably covered it with clods of dirt. Probably buried him out there somewhere. I believe that's where the Bible's talking about, that the God said that the earth opened her mouth. He probably dug a hole in the earth, and that's opening the mouth of the earth that it might swallow up the body, the bleeding body of Abel. So Cain covered it up more than likely and walked away from it, thinking that he's got everything covered, everything's all right. And he probably thought he had been undetected. There's nobody that saw what had happened and nobody that would hold him to account for what had happened. And yet God lets him know in this verse that God saw what happened and God knows what happened and God's going to hold him accountable for what happened. Amen. I want to remind all of us, especially you young people, that there is an all-seeing eye watching you. Not just the drones and all the cameras everywhere. Amen. Not just all the recordings and the video, the cell phones. Now with cell phones, you could be videoed anywhere, anytime. Amen. But there's an all-seeing eye in heaven, knows everything we do. Amen. God's watching that. God's keeping a record. And God's going to hold us to account. Amen. God's going to hold Cain responsible for the murder. Now, why did Abel die? Abel was an innocent. Abel had no wrongdoing on his own. I don't believe that Abel was prideful and that Abel flaunted the fact that God had accepted his offering. I personally believe that Abel would have been humble and Abel probably wanted Cain to bring the right offering and maybe even offered him one of the flock if he'd only come and bring his offering to God. I don't believe Abel had any wrongdoing. He was an innocent, and yet Cain hated Abel because God had accepted Abel's offering of a lamb. But he had rejected Cain's offering of the fruit of the ground. Cain knew what God required, and yet he wasn't willing to bring it. He refused to submit to the word of God. Amen. Abel knew what God wanted, and Abel submitted to it. God counted it for righteousness. It was by faith that Abel offered his sacrifice. That's what Hebrews 11 tells us. It was by faith that Abel offered that sacrifice. And so Abel knew what God required and he submitted to it and therefore found favor, or we'd use the word grace. He found grace in the eyes of God because he brought the proper sacrifice. Cain was a sinner. Cain was a rebel. Cain became a murderer. He was stubborn and he began to hate his brother. Abel's blood, listen to this, and this is my final point on this point. Now think about it. Abel's blood tells us that sometimes evil temporarily overcomes good. Sometimes innocent people suffer at the hands of wicked people. Amen. Sometimes evil wreaks havoc with those that seek to please God. You can be in the perfect will of God. You can be obeying the Lord. It doesn't mean trouble won't come your way. It doesn't mean that some evil person won't hurt you somewhere down the road. Sometimes evil temporarily seems to overcome the good. So we see here the blood of a victim. Turn in the New Testament to Matthew chapter number 26. And I want to show you the blood of a victor. Amen. The blood of a victor. I talked about the blood of Abel has something to say. The blood of Christ has something better to say. Amen. And verse number 26 of Matthew 26, this is a text that we use in a communion service or when we partake of the Lord's Supper, as we call it, and we partake of that, we use these verses. Matthew 26, verse 26, the words of our Lord. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." I'll stop right there. But my thought is on this, that Abel's blood was shed against his will. Christ is telling us here that his blood was going to be shed in his will. He willingly went to Calvary. The blood of our Lord was not spilled on Calvary's hill. If I knock that glass over accidentally, it's not a glass, it's plastic. If I knock that plastic over accidentally and the water pours out, that's spilled. Jesus did not accidentally get killed on Calvary. Jesus went there willingly. Amen. He had the power, if he wanted to have called 12 legions of angels. Amen. Amen. He could have called down fire from heaven if wanted to and could have stopped that crucifixion, but he had the power to lay his life down, thank God, and he had the will to do so, and he did. Amen. And I got to thinking about that when he's talking to his disciples here. It had not yet happened. Brother Hawley's telling them, my blood's going to be shed. My body's going to be broke. But I don't see him saying it with sorrow. I don't see him saying it with fear. I see him saying it with gladness. Amen. My body's going to be broke. My blood's going to be shed. But it's not the blood of a victim here. It's the blood of the victor. Amen. Man. Joshua talked about it in Sunday school there in Hebrews, that he looked forward, and I dealt with that verse yesterday in the sermon, that he despised the shame, but he endured the cross because he looked forward to the joy that was set before him. Amen. Amen. Our Lord Jesus allowed his blood to be shed that the law might be satisfied, that sinners might be forgiven. Amen. That the Father might be pleased. Amen. Jesus did not go to Calvary as a victim. I don't believe they had to drag him up Calvary's hill. I don't believe they had to drive him up Calvary's hill. I believe he took up his cross and he walked, praise God, up Calvary's hill. Amen. If you're in Matthew 26, look at chapter 27, verses 3 and 4. This is after Christ has been taken and crucified. Verse number 3, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed, look at this and underline it, the innocent blood. Amen. Not just I betrayed an innocent man, I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. Amen. And so Judas knew that Christ was innocent, and yet he had betrayed him. This is the blood. What does the blood say? The blood of Christ is not a guilty sinner shedding his blood. It's not just like one of the thieves. Their blood was shed because of guilt. But Christ's blood was shed because of innocence. Amen. Chapter number 27, verse number 22. Let's read a few verses here. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they said unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood, there, underline that, the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Here's the judge that said this man's innocent. And yet he allowed them to take him to the cross. Verse 25, then answered all the people and said, his blood be upon us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when they had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Jesus went to Calvary willingly. Amen. Jesus was innocent. And yet he was willing to die. Amen. Jesus suffered and bled and died that we might be saved. But it was not the blood of a victim. He shed his blood for us. Here's some verses, and I got a bunch of these, and you don't have to turn. John chapter 19, verse 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. That blood, by the way, spoke to that man. He knew something. Amen. There's something took place. I believe he may have been the centurion that said, surely this is the Son of God, or this man must be the Son of God. In Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Amen. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Abel's blood shed in the beginning, and blood's been shed up to this point. But there's one blood that's different from any other blood. Amen. The Hayes family sang that song and said, this is the last blood that I'll ever need. Amen. Amen. Somebody said that altar up there, when that high priest every year would take the offering up there and offer the lamb on the altar, it said that that altar kept crying, more, 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 until the day when Jesus died on Calvary and the temple veil was rent in twain. Somebody said that altar probably said, satisfied, 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 amen. I know God looked down from heaven and saw the travail of his soul, and God was satisfied with his son. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verses 12 through 14. Neither, listen to this, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Amen. I'm glad the blood of Jesus can do what Abel's offering couldn't do. Amen. The blood of Jesus can do what the goats and the calves, amen, could not do. What the turtle doves and the pigeons and all the different things, what they couldn't do, the blood of Jesus does it. Amen. The blood of Jesus can deliver a drug addict from his drugs. Amen. Amen. The blood of Jesus can deliver the drunkard from his alcohol. The blood of Jesus can deliver the prostitute from her prostitution. Amen. I believe the blood of Jesus can deliver the sinner from his sins. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Woo. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, amen, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, amen. Turn, if you will, to Revelation chapter number 1. We started in Genesis. We jumped to Matthew. We'll end in Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 5. John's given this reference as to who's doing the writing, and he says in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I've been washed by the blood. What the baptistry couldn't do, thank God the blood of Jesus does. Amen. What the priest couldn't do, thank God the blood of Jesus does. Amen. What doing better, turning over a new leaf, making resolutions couldn't do, thank God the blood of Jesus does. Amen. Washed us, amen. Washed us. What did he wash us from? From our sins, hallelujah. In his own blood. Amen, hallelujah. Jesus was hanging on that tree. He was not a victim. He was the victor. Amen. You think about ever since Adam's sin in the garden. Looked like when Eve partook of that fruit, gave to her husband, he partook, and they plunged the whole human race into sin. Looked like that evil had triumphed. The first man born on this earth became a murderer. The first religious person on this earth became a martyr. Look like evil is triumphing. You read on and on and on. Israel, the people of God, are constantly being overcome. They're constantly being conquered and captured, and all kinds of things are going on. But you come down finally, there's a babe born in a manger in Bethlehem. Amen. And his name's Jesus, because he shall save his people, praise God, from their sin. Amen. And that ended that thing of the victim, victim, victim. Thank God we don't have to be a victim. We have a victim that went to Calvary, and he can give us the victory. Amen. Amen. We can have the victory through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 11. Let me get over there. You know it, but let me get there. Revelation 12, verse number 11. And they overcame him. It's talking about the dragon. And they overcame him by the blood, praise God, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Amen. Thank God we can overcome him. We can have victory in Jesus because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I said the blood has something to say. The blood's crying. It's crying out. Turn to Revelation chapter number 19. I'll give you my last point. I talked about the blood of a victim. The blood of a victor. Genesis chapter 19, we find the blood of vengeance. Revelation 19, verse number 11. And I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. I'm telling you, I can't help it. I read that. He said, I saw the heavens open. I said, oh Lord, I can't wait to see him. And behold, a white horse. Oh boy, what a sight. He said, but there's somebody on that horse. Amen. That person on that horse is called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. Verse 12. And his eyes are as a flame of fire. And on his head are many crowns. And he hath a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture. Look at this. Vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in the heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm thinking about that vesture dipped in blood. I said Genesis chapter 4, verse 10 is the first mention of blood. Revelation chapter number 19 and verse number, let me find which one it is, verse number 13 is the last time blood's ever mentioned in your King James Bible. The first time that blood's on a victim. This last time blood's mentioned, it's on the victor, amen. But I don't believe it's his blood that's on him. He's talking about trodden the winepress of the wrath of God. He's talking about stomping down his enemies. I don't believe it's his blood on his vesture. I believe it's the blood of those that have denied him, and the blood of those who have rejected him, and the blood of those who have chosen to go with the ungodly and rise up against God. He's trotting the winepress of the wrath of God. Amen. First time he came meek and lowly, offering salvation. But when he comes again the second time, he'll be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He'll be roaring for the battle. Amen. He'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. When John saw this futuristic vision, he saw Jesus taking vengeance on those that fought against him and on those that fought against his saints. If you'll turn back to Revelation chapter 6, I'll read you a few verses from there. I'm winding down. Just like we can shout about the fact that our Lord is a victor and not a victim, that we can be victors and have victory because of him. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul said to the Corinthians, we can rejoice in that, but I'm going to tell you, we ought to also recognize there's vengeance from God upon those that reject the word of God, deny the Christ of God. Amen. Revelation chapter number 6 and verse number 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto them, or given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And so you see there's some people in Revelation 6 that are crying out to God for vengeance. Why is that? Because vengeance does not belong to me and you. We're not to reap or bring out vengeance. We're to wait on God and allow God to do the vengeance part. Amen. Or the revenge in part. Allow God to do that. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 35 says, this is God speaking, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. God said it's not going to be long, and I'm going to pour out my vengeance on that crowd. Micah chapter 5 verse 15, and I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Nahum 1 2, God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. That's the God of heaven. Do you know, I was reading the other day, matter of fact, I was reading Brother Jones's book that Brother Gray brought, and I mentioned about those when he was here, that book that he wrote on divine sonship, and he made the statement that the heathens of the world, up until the time of Christ, the heathens of the world, their gods, nobody ever had a God that loved them. Their gods were always gods that hated them and gods that would do them wrong, and so they had to do something to appease their God. It's always a wrathful God. But then came Christ, and then came the gospel, and we found out there's a God that is love, and a God that does so love the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well, I got to thinking about that, and I carried it a little bit further. I think we're living in a day in quote-unquote Christian America where people can't find the concept of a God that ever judges, because all they think is that there's a God that just loves everybody, and a God that just accepts everything, and a God that's never going to bring judgment down on the wrongdoing that's going on. Amen. We flip that thing around. Rather than being where we can't believe a God could love us, we don't believe there's a God that could ever judge us. But I'm telling you, this Bible is pure and this Bible's true. God is love, and yet God is holy, and his holiness requires that he judges sin. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse number 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 10 verse 30 and 31. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. There's going to be blood of vengeance one day. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7 and 8. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, you're being troubled now, but you can rest with us in the fact that we know how this thing's going to turn out. God's going to take vengeance on that crowd one day. Revelation chapter 14. Verses 14 through 20. The Bible says, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the clouds one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city. By the way, that's where Jesus died, was outside the city. He was trodden in the vengeance of God on him as he took the sins of the world upon him. Amen. But the winepress is going to be trodden without the city. And listen, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now, I know Revelation is a futuristic vision. I don't know when it's coming to pass. It hasn't already come to pass. There are things in there which were and which are and which will be. Amen. He talks about that, those things. But there's much of it that's futuristic. It's still out there. And I don't believe we can dogmatically pin a time and a date and a lot of stuff about that. But I know this, that day's coming. And I don't see how it can be long until the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the ungodliness of men. Amen. The unrighteousness of men is going to bring down the judgment of a holy God in heaven. I think I was talking to Brother Hall the other day, and I made this statement. I said, you know, there's things that used to be that we only heard about them in big cities, places like New Orleans or like Hollywood, places like San Francisco or maybe Chicago or New York. We'd hear about those wicked things that go on in those large cities. Now those things are taking place in Madisonville, Kentucky. Those things are taking place in little places. It's the wickedness of man seems to be spreading over the earth. You know what I believe? I believe the wrath of God's going to soon be revealed, and Jesus is going to come, and that blood that'll be on his vesture, that'll not be his blood that's offered for the sins of many, but it'll be the blood of those that rejected the blood of Christ that are stomped under his feet in the wrath of God. Amen. I wrote this conclusion. I believe it's right. I believe you'll either face Christ, a bloody Christ, hanging on Calvary for your sins, or else you'll face Christ with bloody garments of war as he battles those who know not God and who refuse the grace of God. The blood has something to say to us. The blood's crying out this day. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Do you need to pray? If you do, we want to give you that opportunity as they come with a song. We get ready with an invitation. If the Lord spoke to you, I do want to give you opportunity to do business with God. Opportunity to call on Him. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth of it. Lord, we rejoiced. We rejoiced when we thought about what you did for us on Calvary. But Lord, we tremble when we think about what men are going to face. Men, women, boys, and girls that reject God, that refuse to submit to God today. The wrath of God. You showed us in that very first murder, in that very first time blood was shed, you showed us that an innocent sometimes dies. But you also showed us that the guilty is held accountable for their crime. Lord, one of these days, the guilty are going to be held accountable for their crime. Father, I pray help those that are guilty today run to you for mercy. Run to the city of refuge. Find grace to help in this time of need. Have your way, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. As we sing, would you obey the Lord? Would you obey Him?